The scripture this morning is taken from Exodus 3:1-12. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law, Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's message appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses, Moses." Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Now don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of the land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that's full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites all live. Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me. I've seen how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. So get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I'll be with you, and this will show you that I'm the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, Trudy, you knocked those names out of the park. Thank you. Those are tough. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. Has anyone seen The Prince of Egypt? Yes, a few. If you haven't seen it, I will lend you my copy. It is such a good movie. It's one of my absolute favorite movies of all time, is The Prince of Egypt. Now, this is an animated version of the story of Exodus, and it features beautiful and haunting music and these scenes that inspire you and fill you with a sense of awe. The art, the music, the storytelling gives us a fresh expression of Moses, who's standing there in the center, who he may have been, what he was able to become in his journey to follow God's courageous call on his life. That Moses looks a lot different than the Ten Commandments old man Moses, right? Probably a little more accurate there. Well, continuing in our theme of life interrupted during this Lenten series, Moses is one who's had multiple life interruptions and can teach us a lot about what we might do to handle what life throws our way. Oftentimes when we read the burning bush story, we forget what has come before this moment. Moses has been enjoying, I would say, a rather cushy life, right? He's been tending to the sheep, he's gotten married, he's lived into the wilderness, the desert, but he's found community there. But before that, he was a man running for his life from Egypt as a convicted felon, even a murderer. Because although he was raised by an Egyptian family, Moses knew of his Hebrew identity. And day after day, he would watch his own people working as slaves. And until one day, he snapped and killed an Egyptian who was abusing a Hebrew slave. Moses ran, afraid of what Pharaoh would do to him as a result. We might even say that Moses was running from a first failed attempt to liberate his own people. He was, in fact, hiding out. He had become comfortable with his life, with the stillness, with the tending of the sheep. He'd become comfortable with people not knowing his full story or his full identity or his past. He got comfortable enough to forget about the injustices happening in the lives of his family and his ancestors. But God had something to say about that in the form of a burning bush, a strange phenomena of a burning bush. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been very freaked out by this. The kids are like, eh. But I would have been really freaked out. My first thought might have been, I've been hanging out with these sheep for too long. Really? But once Moses realizes that he is encountering the holy, he removes his shoes and stands on holy ground. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that today. I need a pedicure. But he listens and speaks with God. He is reminded of the injustice and oppression of his people. The story that he has tried to forget or suppress is now right in front of him because he has been living comfortably. And Moses has 1,000 reasons to stay there with the sheep and in his family and hiding away from the rest of the world. And one of those reasons being that, as far as he knows, Pharaoh wants him dead. But whether or not we have a warrant hanging over our heads, we confess that speaking truth to power is hard. It's not something that most of us do readily. It's definitely not something that we do when we are living comfortably and see no reason to get uncomfortable. We may be comfortable with our jobs, our community, our way of living. We might be comfortable knowing that the real horrors of the world are miles away. That's none of our concern until our life is interrupted and we are called to actually step out of our comfort zone and do something about it. We are called to break out of our routines, to break a bad habit, perhaps, to do something that challenges us to our core. We may be called to serve in a new way or speak truth to power or injustice. We are called upon to do hard things. How will we respond? A woman named Sister Teresa and a pregnant 13-year-old girl in Tijuana, Mexico, offer their story of what this might look like. Back in 1999, this pregnant 13-year-old girl was surviving by sifting through garbage to find recyclable materials to sell them for a small profit. She lived in a garbage dump of Tijuana. I visited this place several years ago when I was part of a group of clergy. We were part of the Wabash Pastoral Leadership Program. We went to Tijuana and San Diego to study life on the border and how people are interacting and living there. We traveled to this place to learn about the power of community, even in the midst of unimaginable circumstances. Surrounded by homes made out of cardboard and garbage and plastic, we listened to this story unfold. How this young girl met Sister Teresa, who was a 63-year-old nun serving in the area. Sister Teresa asked this girl what she would like to do, anything she could do if given the opportunity. And she said she wanted to learn how to do hair and nails. So the two of them set out together and found 15 other women in the trash dump neighborhood. Through a microloan system, Sister Teresa helped the women receive training and how to open a small business. After a while, things were going so well that a bakery was added. And then a daycare was opened in order to tend to the women's children while they worked. Time went by and the daycare became a preschool and a school. And for the first time, an entire generation of children had the opportunity for an education. Eventually, the beauty salon was closed in order to open a health clinic, which they found was more of a need. So doctors would volunteer there while women continued to work and provide for their families. All because two women said yes to doing something hard, an entire generation is able to see hope in their future. Yes, families still live in impoverished circumstances on top of a landfill. Poverty and health issues abound. Basic sanitation and running water is lacking. But through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and two women willing to accept that they will step out of their comfort zones and say, "Yes, send me, we can do hard things," a community has a better chance at life. So when the burning bush calls out to Moses, he has a choice to make: to stay comfortable or to step out and do a hard thing. Of course, he, like most of us, tends to ask, "Well, who am I to do this hard thing?" Right? Who am I to bring the Hebrew people out of slavery that's generations deep at this point? Who am I? Why me? We ask this question over and over again, don't we? Who am I that I should lead in worship? Who am I that I should help the homeless? Who am I that I should help people in addiction recovery? Who am I that I should help this person? Who am I that I should speak up against the enslaving powers of our day today? Or if we think of this in terms of everyday life, the basics. Who am I that even though I feel weary or sad or lacking in hope, that I should get out of bed and face the day? Who am I that despite my imperfections and mistakes, that others count on me and look to me for guidance and hope? To love and compassion? Who am I that I am asked to care for myself enough to then care for others and look for the goodness in them? We are a lot like Moses. Moses wants to hear from God, "Who are you?" "You are Moses. You are Moses. You are Dave. You are Belinda. You are Jim. You're Diane. You are beautiful, talented, smart, courageous, equipped." While all of these things might be true, God doesn't answer the question perhaps in the way Moses expects. God simply says, "I will be with you." That's all. I will be with you. This reminds us that it is the presence of God that's the key, not the limitations of the person that God calls. The presence of God is the key, not the limitations or the gifts of the person that God calls. Beautiful films like The Prince of Egypt tend to leave out the fact that Moses had a speech impediment. Do you remember this? We don't learn that very much, even in Vacation Bible School. Moses had a speech impediment. We read later on in our text that Moses is, quote, "slow of speech and slow of tongue." Why, we might wonder, would God call Moses, speech challenges and all, to lead the charge to freedom? Because God knows that we can do hard things, and we do not do them alone. Remember, he later sends his brother Aaron to speak for him. And this was God's way of saying, "Don't worry, I've got this covered," right? Author and speaker Glennon Doyle has made her motto of sorts to remind us that we can all do hard things. There's even a podcast of the same name, in case you're curious. She says that life is freaking hard. We are all doing hard things every single day. Things like loving and losing, caring for children and parents, forging and ending friendships, battling addiction, illness, and loneliness, struggling in our jobs, our marriages, our divorces, setting boundaries, and fighting for equality, purpose, freedom, joy, and peace. And the only thing that makes life easier a lot of the time is to drop the fake talk and honestly talk about the hard. To admit the hardness of life and to be real with one another. And this place, the church, is a place for us to be real with one another. It's not a place to bring our perfect, shiny selves every single Sunday, but a place to bring our imperfect lives, our battles, our challenges that perhaps no one else knows about. It's a place to help one another carry the load with the help of Christ Jesus, who already carries our burdens and sits with us in the hard stuff. As Brené Brown puts it, I love this, I went to church thinking it would be like an epidural for us women in the audience, that it would take the pain away. But even that doesn't really take all the pain away, does it? But church isn't like an epidural, it's like a midwife. I thought Faith would say, I'll take away the pain and discomfort, but what it ended up saying was, I'll sit with you in it. And that takes courage. Courage not only to sit with each other in it, but also to admit and confess the hard things and our struggles to do them. I confess to you that my hard thing is being a parent. A lot of times I'm doing it by myself. My son Xavier struggles with ADHD and other behavioral challenges. Every day I'm presented with unpredictable situations that challenge me and pull me in many directions when it comes to what am I supposed to do with this, right? There are times that it feels unbearable, along with times of joy and excitement. It's never a dull moment. But I have to make a choice each day to choose courage over comfort, to choose my son, to choose my role as a patient and compassionate parent, when sometimes all I want to do is just stand in a corner and scream. Some days are easier than others, and I remind myself to breathe and know that we can do hard things. I can do hard things. Now, Moses is being asked that same question that I believe we are being asked every day. What would it look like to choose courage over comfort in every situation? Even if it's a day when life feels overwhelming or depression and anxiety is threatening to take you down and getting out of bed is a struggle, but to choose courage over comfort may look like simply getting out of bed and telling yourself, we can do hard things. I can do hard things. Or instead of choosing to get into old patterns or habits that often lead to self-harm or the harm of others, choosing a new path to holistic health and peace, we can do hard things. Or it could look like choosing to try something new instead of doing the same thing over and over again that doesn't seem to work. But we keep doing them because it's what we know. Choosing courage over comfort may look like saying yes to outside-the-box thinking. We can do hard things. Or maybe it's finally having that hard conversation with someone you love or someone you work with that you've been avoiding. Ugh. We can do hard things. Perhaps it's wading through extreme sadness or trauma or the grief from losing someone that we love. Choosing each day to move forward. Say it with me. We can do hard things. Like Moses, God is calling each of us to do hard things. Those hard things will look different for every single one of us here. What is that for you? For Moses, it started with the burning bush. His life was interrupted in the place and time where he was just starting to get comfortable. He had a choice to choose courage over comfort. He had a choice to get out there and do that hard thing. And you know what? God promised to be with him. That's the key to this whole thing. God calls each of us, despite our imperfections, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our past, present, or future, despite our hard things, to step out and do those hard things. We can only truly take these things on with the knowledge that God is with us. Who am I to do this? We might ask. Who are you? A beloved child of God who is in the presence of a God who will not let us fail. If anything, Lent is a time to remember that we can do hard things. We remember Jesus as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Remove this hard thing from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. And my own edit says, God, I can and will do this hard thing, as he was arrested and led to the cross. Friends, we can do hard things, and we do not do them alone. However your life is being interrupted today, whether it's a burning bush moment or something as subtle as your alarm going off in the morning, you are called, loved, and nudged by God to step out and choose courage over comfort, and to be reminded that we can do hard things. May you breathe in the divine presence of God today and know of God's presence as you journey through life's ups and downs. Let us pray. Oh God, stir in us the reminder today that yes, we can do hard things. And those might look different for every one of us here. But God, you promise us that you will be with us and we will not do these hard things alone. So whatever journey we are on today, whatever battle we are fighting, whatever burning bush might be in front of us, give us courage, give us grace, give us mercy, give us the reminder of your unfailing love, that together we are on this trip and you do not abandon us. Remind us, O God, we can do hard things. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.